It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here as we explore a transportation model connecting suburban employers to a labor force in Milwaukee with transportation barriers. Call in with questions about the FlexRide Milwaukee pilot, what you've encountered securing reliable, affordable transportation to and from work, especially across county lines. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Robert Schneider is a professor and chair of the Department of Urban Planning at UW-Milwaukee. Robert, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, give us a bit of a primer first. How does FlexRide Milwaukee work?
Yeah, FlexRide is a system that's designed as microtransit, which is people hired to take vehicles and pick people who are looking to access jobs up in the city of Milwaukee and take them out to currently Waukesha County near Menominee Falls and Butler, which are northwest of the city of Milwaukee, and help connect these city of Milwaukee workers with those jobs. The service picks them up either in one of two zones currently, one that's $1.50 and one that's free, depending on how close you are to the job sites. And people will use an app, a phone app, or potentially call in and request a ride and be picked up basically the corner closest to where they request their ride. The service runs from about 4:30 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. on weekdays.
For people not familiar with this area, how long would an average ride be, perhaps?
Yeah, so it would probably take about 20 minutes. And be roughly 5 to 10 miles between those locations, though that the area is a little bit large. So some rides are shorter and some are longer.
I imagine this really has a lot to do with having cell coverage and smartphones making the system possible, making the whole background of the system possible.
Yeah, certainly the movement towards microtransit around the country to try to potentially fill in some of the gaps that aren't as efficient to provide with fixed route bus transit. That movement has been made possible because of smartphones and apps. The way that it works is sort of similar to a ride hailing app like Lyft or Uber. And so by having that on your smartphone, you're able to get a ride fairly efficiently. Most of the Flex riders are able to get a ride within 10 to 20 of when they request the ride. And so that's an advantage. It is interesting, though, even for people who don't have smartphones, since they have the call-in option, they can still request a ride that way. And about 12% of the people who took rides were requesting them by phone.
So what is the distinction then between, you know, ride hailing companies, privately owned Uber, Lyfts of the world, and what the FlexRide operation is?
Yes, well, FlexRide is oriented towards serving lower income workers and helping connect people with jobs who haven't had them before or for a long time and providing that access. And Lyft and Uber, those types of ride hailing services for this type of trip may cost $15 to $20 per one-way trip. In the case of FlexRide, having the service be $1.50 at the most is a really affordable way to get to access the jobs. And so the way that that's done is because the service was supported by a National Science Foundation grant that we won here at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and had partnership with the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission to provide. And with several other key partners, we were able to offer that service as a proof of concept starting last year at this time.
Talking about microtransit in the Milwaukee area, Robert Schneider here, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee. You can join in with your questions about this form of transit, things that have come up for you as you get to and from work and make transportation possible, 800-642-1234. Robert, you mentioned the National Science Foundation grant. You also have landed additional grant funding in order to expand the pilot project later this month. What does that entail?
Yes, well, first, it's really important to recognize one of the key partners in our National Science Foundation effort, which was Mobilize, which is a nonprofit that specializes in transportation in our southeastern Wisconsin region. They are now operating and managing the next phase of FlexRide Milwaukee. And so when that launches in later this month, they're the lead on that. And they were able to secure a grant, a workforce development grant, workforce innovation grant from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation last summer to support the additional service expansion. And they also got a grant from Milwaukee County to support it as well. So they've been key in taking FlexRide Milwaukee to the next level.
It also really shows you the public-private partnerships at work here in making this concept possible.
For sure. The partnerships were essential throughout the process. The idea of microtransit wasn't new to our region when we proposed our idea to the National Science Foundation. Groups like Mobilize and SewerPAC had been discussing it. There were employers in Waukesha County who were very interested. We have partners, the Waukesha Ozaukee Washington Workforce Development Board, the Waukesha County Business Alliance, the Waukesha County Center for Growth. And then on the Milwaukee side, Employ Milwaukee, Milwaukee County Transit, who've all been part of our discussions. And we got great support from the county executives, both in Milwaukee County and Waukesha County, as well as the City of Milwaukee mayor. They supported the idea of trying out this new type of transportation and seeing if it would work. The great thing is, from the perspective of our study and for the workers themselves, is that many people took these rides. We had about 80 riders in the 80 rides given in the first month, which is March 2022, when it launched. By the time we reached August, there were more than 1,000 rides being given through FlexRide Milwaukee.
And so, you know, and along this year, you've had to project as what you how you think FlexRide will be used. And you've collected survey data, which we'll touch on a bit later. But as you look at the ridership, how does it line up with your projections? And how does FlexRide Milwaukee compare to other markets that have launched microtransit?
Yeah, I think this is an important distinction. Our FlexRide Milwaukee is oriented as an employment-based service, and so it's trying to connect people with jobs. Other microtransit may offer rides to get people to shopping or to healthcare appointments or other types of trips. This is employment-focused, and so we were trying to identify the parts of, especially the City of Milwaukee, where people were looking for jobs, and connect them with the suburban job centers. And so our market, we think that we've reached some of them, but we were only piloting this on the northwest side of the city. Mm-hmm. The next expansion is looking at the southwest, south side of the city and connecting into Franklin. And so that'll be a very important market to develop. So it's a little bit hard to compare to some of the other systems because of our focus.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, since it is so employment focused, do you think employers should make a financial commitment to solving this workforce transportation problem? Should they have skin in the game, be contributing dollars and have a stake in the solution?
This is a part of the discussions moving forward. The way that the system is currently provided is subsidized through grant support first from the National Science Foundation and then through the state and through the county. But those subsidies are, you know, one-time grants that may take the support for another several years. It's guaranteed to go through all the way through 2024 right now. But the future sustainability most likely will involve some sort of contribution from employers and a combination of other sources. The amount that it costs to provide a trip through FlexRide Milwaukee is more than we are asking people to pay through the fares.
Let's take a call. Guy in La Crosse on this particular point here. Guy, go ahead.
Thank you. I guess you partly answered the question of how, once the grants are exhausted, how would this be sustained going forward? And I thought it was interesting just to hear you mention the contribution of employers. It seems like they would be highly motivated potentially to be able to get the workers out to their work sites. So that sounds kind of interesting. This is kind of a general question for an expert in urban planning, but when you look at other communities that have trams and subways and buses and all kinds of walkability aspects and people getting around lots of different ways, what funding models seem to make that work? I'm just kind of curious. I was in Vienna, Austria recently, and it was just so easy to get around that city, and it's not a ginormous metro area. It's maybe kind of like Milwaukee in terms of size, and I was just impressed with how you could get around, and we always look to Europe as this great model, or maybe other parts of the world.
Guy, thanks for contributing. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you bring a really important idea for thinking about the long-term efficiency of our transportation and development patterns. One of the challenges that we have right now and why FlexRide is really important is that the employment locations are spread across many different parts of our region. And so to get people to each destination, we had FlexRiders go to 63 different job sites through our pilot period of the first 6 months. If you want to reach that many different job sites, it's really hard to do on a single transit line unless they are located close to each other. Because of this dispersed land use pattern, that makes it difficult. So in the long term, we need to be thinking about ways that employment can be organized a little bit more compactly along certain transit routes. And also thinking about ways that we can have more employment opportunities within the neighborhoods where the current job seekers are living, so they have opportunities to walk or take transit easily to those jobs. But certainly currently, for people who need jobs but don't have very many opportunities in their neighborhood, this sort of flexible micro transit is really important to serve that.
Robert Schneider, urban planning professor at UW Milwaukee, unpacking data on first year of FlexRide Milwaukee. Call in with your questions, your experiences with workforce transportation, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine outcomes over a year of FlexRide Milwaukee, the pilot project set to expand this month, connecting more workers who live in Milwaukee with businesses outside the county. Call in with your questions, your ideas for improving workforce transportation, what you go through to get to and from work, 800-642-1234. Robert Schneider, UW Milwaukee urban planning professor and principal investigator on a FlexRide Milwaukee grant, stays with us. Let's go to Art in Milwaukee. Art, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi. Well, I live in Milwaukee, and just wonder if he might be able to explain the larger context and why it's so difficult for people from Milwaukee County to go to Waukesha County. The sense is that there's policymakers, et cetera, in Waukesha, maybe state funding is an issue also, that don't want to make it easy for people of color in particular from Milwaukee to go to Waukesha easily. And that's why we have these weird stopgap measures. This is not the first one. It's very welcome, but you have to see this weird system where you can't just take a bus from Milwaukee to Waukesha.
Art, thank you. Let's get Robert's reaction here. Go ahead.
Sure. There's some important history to recognize, and the Milwaukee County Transit System did have some bus routes that had extended into Waukesha County and served some of the areas that are currently being served by FlexRide. Those routes were called the job lines in the mid-20-teens, and they were no longer supported after 2017 or 18. Part of it was that the Milwaukee County Transit System, they weren't the best performing lines, and so they were very expensive per rider that was provided up that way. There had been some subsidy given to those lines in order to operate them from other types of lawsuits that had happened in the past. And so that when those went away, it did lose access for some people from the central city to be able to access the suburban jobs. And so the conversations leading up to FlexRide definitely drew upon that need to reach those job sites. I think it's important to also recognize the long-term opportunities for people living in the city of Milwaukee currently to be able to access housing and other opportunities in other parts of the region. And that hasn't been easy in the past, though those types of conversations are continuing and need to be a part of discussions when we try to figure out how do we allow people to have more access to work.
What does your survey data tell you from riders?
The riders really appreciated having the opportunity to access jobs. When we did a follow-up survey of people after they had ridden, we were able to reach about a third of our participants who had ridden the service. And they about two-thirds of those said that the FlexRide service was extremely important or quite important to being able to get a job or keep a job. And so the evidence there is very positive in terms of supporting people being able to get jobs. The other part of the survey that's critical to all of this is understanding that 9 out of 10 riders don't have access to a car at home.
I'm so glad you brought that up. That's exactly what I wanted to ask about. I mean, looking at huge percentages of households in Milwaukee that lack access. I mean, I saw 13%. I saw almost about 20%.
Yeah, the latest that I saw in the American Community Survey is 16% of Milwaukee households don't have a car. And so some neighborhoods, it's 30 or 40% of households. And the parts of the city that are being served by FlexRide currently have some of the highest rates or lowest rates of car ownership.
Mm. I'm going to reintroduce just for a moment Robert Schneider, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee. Robert, what does success look like for FlexRide Milwaukee? Where is it headed?
Yeah, well, Mobilize, who's leading the next phase of the expansion of FlexRide, is expanding down into the Franklin area to connect people from the city of Milwaukee to the jobs in that area, which has had significant job growth, and is looking at potentially connecting over to Brookfield and some other important job sites in our region. The success will also depend on how efficiently the service can be provided. And so some of the discussions have been to say, well, how can we have more people ride in the same vehicle and essentially encourage more carpooling within these shared shuttles that are being operated. And some of those ideas are to charge a little bit less of a fare for people who go to a specific location, such as a key bus stop on the Milwaukee County Transit Network. If they go to that location and get picked up there, they might have a lower fare than if they're getting picked up just on the corner near their house. And that way we'll be able to provide the service a little bit more efficiently into the future. The other one, of course, is, as you mentioned before, how much support can be provided by employers and others who really benefit from the service.
Those are for future conversations with those employers, I would imagine, so many of them out there and so many that have been served by this. Robert, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Kate.
Robert Schneider is a professor and chair of the Department of Urban Planning at UW-Milwaukee. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.